Good morning. It is a joy to be with you today. Thank you for the opportunity, for the privilege of sharing God's word, and the joy of installing your new family life workers. Well, not so new for you, but new to the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You continue your series on prayer, thinking about the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Pastor mentioned it before, but again, hear the context. This, then, is how you should pray in response to the question, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Maker and our Redeemer. Amen. The name of Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ. Three little words. Thy kingdom come. Three little words that contain a world of context. Literally, a world, God's creation. A world, the church of God, literally an eternal world, the kingdom of God. That's the concept of this kingdom that Jesus talks about. David and Beth, that's the concept, the context, the ministry into which you are called to serve this kingdom and to serve this king. Do you ever wonder why Jesus taught these words to the disciples? Seven petitions, you're going to go through them all. I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder probably, but six of those sevens deal with spiritual things. One deals with physical things. Think about your prayers. Are your prayers focused more on the physical things, the needs of life, health, finances, concerns, physical, emotional, rather than the spiritual things of God, like God's kingdom? Jesus teaches us to pray these words, I think, because our prayers can sometimes get discombobulated, get turned around, get focused away from where they should be. And one of those focuses is the kingdom of God. John the Baptizer, when he came preaching, said, "The kingdom of God, heaven is near." Jesus said in the gospel reading, "The kingdom of God has come to you." Another translation of Mark chapter 1. The kingdom of God has come. What is this kingdom of God for which Jesus commands us to pray? First, it is a kingdom we don't need to pray for because we are already in it. It's a kingdom whose boundaries are sought out, probes sent deep into space to search the vastness of the universe. The kingdom is God's creation. The world which He created in 6 days, the entire creation over which the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all who live in it, the psalmist says, including me and you. Part of this kingdom of power, the power of God and His care for His creation as creator. We don't have to pray to enter it, to remain in it, for God in His grace and mercy has put us in it. But I think it's in this prayer, so we don't forget it. It's all too often that we lose sight of the fact that God is our provider, that this world is under His dominion. During this Lenten season, you will see Jesus. If you read through the Passion account, Jesus stands before Pilate at his trial. And Pilate is angry with Jesus. He screams, "Why don't you answer me? Don't you know that I have power to release you or to crucify you? You know, it's really all up to me what happens to you. I'm in control of your fate." ever said those words? That you're in control? It's such an easy trap to fall into. Look around our world, especially these last months. How many government leaders today feel that they have the final authority, that they can make or break the rules at their whim and wish, that they can flex their political muscles in words and displays of power, in building, in keeping, in jealously guarding that they have built, that they want to keep control of in their own effort and their own power to their own end and their own glory. We can point the finger, can't we, at those people around the world. But like my mom used to say, remember when you point your finger, there's three coming back at you. Because it may be that more times than we care to admit, that's the way it is with us. It's easy for us to fall into that same trap, to be seduced by the evil one, to forget about God's authority and be consumed by my desire to build my own little kingdom and my own little empire. We tear down our barns and build bigger ones to hold all of our hard-earned goods. We scramble with all of our might to the top of the ladder of success. We seek to establish our position, to impress other people with our status symbols. We order and we arrange our lives, providing for the future so expertly that we pat ourselves on the back for having been so clever. Even in a downturned economy, things look pretty good for me. I've made some good decisions. How easy it is to look at our own little kingdoms and our own little worlds, to lean back and say to ourselves, look what I've done. My power and my might have gotten me this wealth. It's all mine. And nobody's going to tell me what to do with it. Nobody's going to tell me how to use it. We do need to pray, thy kingdom come. We need to see in Jesus not only the words to say, but also words how to live them. His entire life was one of acknowledging the power, the authority, the rule of his heavenly Father. Jesus gave this prayer twice, once to his disciples privately, once in the Sermon on the Mount, or possibly the same time where there's some debate among scholars. Be that as it may. In the Sermon on the Mount, a few minutes after Jesus says this, he says, do not worry about your life, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God, the provider, the creator, the sustainer of all, will give you all that you need. All that you need. Not all your desires, but all you need. And Father, your kingdom come is a reminder that he is the one who provides it. Yours, O Lord, King David said at the height of Israel's greatness and power, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Father, your kingdom come. For unless you, Lord, build the house, those who build it labor in vain. The kingdom of God's creation, your kingdom come. But also beyond that, the kingdom which Jesus himself came to establish. The kingdom over which he is king. The kingdom prophesied throughout the Old Testament scriptures, whose rule has been justice and love from the beginning. As you read through the Old Testament, there's a little bit of a pride of the Israelites in being called God's people. Maybe not. What an honor. And what a privilege that their God even when they would walk away, called them back. Time and time again, leading, providing, delivering, supplying all their needs, even the most trying of situations. Times, yes, like a good father bringing them to their knees when they went the wrong way. As David talked about in his children's message, being caught for doing wrong, repenting, reconfirming, reinvigorating, bringing them back to their senses time and time and time again. The promise was looked forward to of the kingdom being fulfilled. But the people got a little bit confused. They began to think of the kingdom like under David, a great monarchy, a great nation, free from Roman rule, supreme again among the nations of the world. But the kingdom Jesus came to establish has nothing to do with peace and tranquility among people of nations, about improving the quality of one, about material blessings, about physical things. Jesus, as he stands before Pilate, after Pilate has ranted at him a bit, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a matter of military might or material things. It's a kingdom of truth." Of truth. War and racial tensions are indeed a great malady. But Jesus looked at the underlying sin that causes it as the greatest malady. Crime and corruption and poverty and inequality are great evils. But the evil one who is behind them is the greater evil. Illness and disease and death may be the cause of much personal concern, but for Jesus, eternal death, eternal separation from God because of sin is a far greater concern. You see, we're not talking about a rash on the skin of mankind. We're talking about a total paralysis of purpose, of identity, of meaning. People don't know who they are, nor whose they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't have an idea what this life is all about. E. Stanley Jones once said, "We are dying as people where it counts, at the heart." Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God right in the middle of all of those needs and applying not might, not force, but His own love. His love led Him to a cross, wrongfully accused, savagely beaten, heartlessly ridiculed, frightfully alone, undeservedly dying in the place of those who put Him there, offering Himself to God in the place of every human being, including you and me, offering Himself to God that He might defeat the evil one, that He might win for us forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, remove the power of the evil one, remove the power of death, hit at the heart and center of the greatest human need of all, the need of forgiveness and a reconnected life, a new life with the Heavenly Father. And praise God in Jesus Christ, that kingdom is His kingdom of grace, His loving rule over us, His church. It's established as Jesus came to save us, that He might truly be supreme in our lives, that His kingdom may come to us also. To be a member of that kingdom means taking the righteousness of God in Christ, who lived perfectly for us and then died for us that we might live at peace with God and men in Him. It means total, radical, complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves to the Father's will, having God take charge of every area of our life. We intend to do that. We desire to do that. We long to do that. But it's so easy to slip back to the old ways, isn't it? To give in to temptation, to, like Peter, deny him, like Judas, to betray him, to forget our loyalties, to misplace our emphases, to jumble up our priorities. So easy to fail to pay attention to him, to fail to honor him, to fail to give him our allegiance. Perhaps a grudging respect, but not our total allegiance. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, I have determined to not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. To the Philippians, Paul said, one thing I do. As I go around to churches, I often hear a church say, these 40 things we're trying to do. These 20 things we're trying to do. A lot of things that aren't bad things to do. But maybe just what the church needs to do is rediscover and proclaim the kingdom of God. What the world needs to hear and to have is the kingdom of God. That's why our Lord bids us to pray, thy kingdom come. Our Father, continue to let your kingdom come to us. But not only to us, also through us. That the rule of Christ, our King, may triumph everywhere. That more and more people in this world of ours will learn the all-important truth of what God offers in Jesus Christ through us, from us. That's our mission as God's redeemed children, to proclaim to the world this kingdom of God. And that's the mission you, David and Beth, undertake today, to take that kingdom, that message, that proclamation to children, to parents, to young people, families, to all, as you serve in this place, as you serve your King, as you serve His kingdom, to point people and invite them to join you in that service, in that kingdom. This kingdom comes to others as the Word of God is shared with someone who has lost a loved one. As a witness is given to our Lord Jesus and the hope that we have in Him. As those who are hurting or confused, are lonely or bewildered or afraid, hear the voice of Jesus through our words and our actions. Come to me. I will give you rest. Offering God's forgiveness, God's salvation, God's hope, and inviting them to join us in His kingdom. Father, your kingdom come in us and through us. And finally, take us in safety, in faith, to your heavenly kingdom. Beyond the gorgeousness of God's creation, beyond the beauty of God's grace in His church, there is the kingdom that will never end, the kingdom of heaven, where His rule of love is established forever unopposed, where we shall be with Him, serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness with all the saints, with all the angels, with all of God's people. Imagine that glorious kingdom that awaits us, being with our God for eternity. It's not a dream. It's not a hope. It's promised in Jesus Christ to you. He sealed it with His precious blood. Given to you in the Spirit's working, in word and sacrament. It's received in faith. And when's it going to come? Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe not for years. Maybe when we're taken out of this life to that heavenly kingdom. Maybe when Jesus comes to return as King and Judge for all to see. The question is not really so much when it comes. The question is, are you ready for it to come? Are you truly praying, Lord, Your kingdom come in us, through us, to Your honor and glory? Frederick the Great of Prussia was king of that country. He'd visit the schools on occasion to be sure the children were being taught correctly. How many teachers are here? Any teachers? What would you say if Governor Snyder came to your class to be sure you're doing the right job? Or President Obama, or whoever. Not just your building principal, but somebody high up. Well, the king came to this classroom, this school. And on one visit, he asked a little girl, maybe one of pastor's children's ages, to be sure they were being taught correctly, he asked her, as he held up a stone, "To which kingdom does this belong?" And the answer is, "The mineral kingdom, of course," she said. "And how about this? To which kingdom does this belong?" He held up a flower. And the answer is, "The plant kingdom, of course." She knew that. "And how about my horse? To what kingdom does he belong?" And the answer would be, "The animal kingdom." And then the king said, "And what about me? To what kingdom do I belong?" The girl was stumped for a bit. But then after thinking, she said, "You belong, dear king, to the kingdom of God." At which Frederick said, "Pray God that I may be found worthy of such an honor." Pray God that we may be found worthy of such an honor to be named children of the King. Thy kingdom come. What a privilege we have to pray that prayer, acknowledging God's care and God's rule over His creation, rejoicing in the fact that we are a dearly loved child of God, a member of the kingdom of His grace, and ours is the promise of the kingdom of heaven. What a privilege we have. What a privilege Pastor has to proclaim that. What a privilege, David and Beth, you have to serve that kingdom, to teach that kingdom, to serve that King in full-time ministry. May God richly bless your ministry, that you may be a blessing to many. And may God keep each of us connected to Him in faith of the honor He has given us to pray, "Father, Thy kingdom come." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.